Hello, this is David G, and welcome to day two of our 40 days of transformation. Here we are, and if you're back, it means you've made a big commitment and followed through on it. That's how the process works. Baby steps that we all take together. Fazulaiki, fazulaiki, ihimusu, sakulaiki. Bean by bean, the bag gets full. We've spent one day together connected to that stillness and silence that rests within. The mantra we used yesterday was, I am. I am. And so now it's time to take that a little deeper. The traditional image of a meditator is someone sitting cross-legged with eyes closed and their hands resting on their knees with their thumbs and index fingers touching to form a circle or some kind of hand mudra as they chant the sound Om. And it's that chanting of Om that's called the chanting of a mantra. The word mantra comes from two Sanskrit words, man, which means mind, and tra, which means vehicle or instrument. So your mantra is essentially your mind vehicle, your mind instrument. It's a tool to transport your mind from the state of activity to one of stillness, silence, quietude. And we get the words train, travel, transportation from that Sanskrit root, tra. Most meditation mantras are comprised of the 50 letters of the Sanskrit alphabet, but they don't have to be. And mantras can consist of a single letter, a syllable, a string of syllables, a word, a whole sentence. Typically, though, most mantras are sounds, syllables, or vibrations that don't necessarily have a meaning. The value of using the mantra essentially lies in its vibrational quality, its ability through repetition to disconnect us from thought, from activity, and from meaning. So the beauty of the mantra is that it's silent and it's meaningless. Meaningless mantras are vibrations that existed before there was language, before there was anything, actually. They're ancient, they're primordial. They're primal. And it's for this reason that these mantras go beyond the state of our human existence on this third rock from the sun, on this sweet planet we call Earth. Mantras can take us deeper because they're indeed vibrations that have existed since the dawn of creation. Om is referred to as the hymn, H-Y-M-N, of the universe. It's the oldest mantra sacred to Hindus, Buddhists, and Jains. Those who practiced meditation back in the day. Om is considered the ultimate vibration because it contains every vibration that has ever existed and every vibration that will ever exist. Just as white light contains all the colors of the spectrum, Om contains every sound in the vibrational spectrum, even those we can't hear with our ears. One of the clearest visual representations of this was on the cover of Pink Floyd's album, Dark Side of the Moon. If you can go back to that moment in time, it shows the white light coming into a prism and all the colors of the spectrum coming out of the other side. That's because white light contains every color in the spectrum. The same could be said for Om. It's the white light of sound. Now, historically, Om was mentioned in the 12 verses of the ancient Vedic text, the Mandukya Upanishads, which explains the three basic states of consciousness, which we're all familiar with, waking, sleeping, and dreaming. In its original spelling and pronunciation is a blending of those three states of consciousness into the oneness of those three distinct syllables that correlate to each of those states. So the three vibrations, A, U, M, also represent the three stages of life. Birth, living, and death, or beginning, maintaining, and ending. And of course, with every ending comes a rebirth. The vibration that we pronounce represents our waking state, and it heralds the beginning of all things. The Old Testament begins with Ah. The Rig Veda begins with Ah. First line is Agni Mile Purohitam. And even the Quran begins with the letter A. Homer's Odyssey begins with the vibration of a letter A. It's pretty fascinating. Ah announces creation. the beginning. And the ancient Vedic sages referred to the A, this A of our waking state, as the Akara, which represents the realm of form and shape. Essentially, the physical realm, the Akara. The middle vibration of Aum is U, which is the maintenance period, which is referred to as the Ukara, and it represents the dream state. That's the realm that's devoid of form or shape, the realm of air, of water, fire, dreams, ever-changing aspects of this formless world around us. And the final vibration of Aum is the M sound, known as the Makara, which represents the state of deep sleep, our realm of consciousness in hibernation. This is pure potentiality, a state of consciousness that's neither form nor formless. So we have the waking state of the Akara, ah, and the deep sleep state of the Makara, and that thread that runs through the middle of them, the Ukara, the dream state, ooh. And when we put them all together, the vibration is A-U-M, or Aum. In Sanskrit grammar, when the letter A and U are combined in writing, they're actually translated as the letter O. It's a diphthong, which is why we often see Om, O-M, written instead of A-U-M, Aum. And over thousands of years, the writing of Aum has taken a backseat to Om, and that's led to pretty much Om being the sound that's most often chanted by Western students and many teachers of yoga, meditation, and Vedanta. In India, where people have a greater familiarity with Sanskrit, whether they're speaking Hindi or Tamil, Tagalog, or Bengali, they still have a greater orientation or familiarity with Sanskrit, and that's based from the daily prayers. And so that sound in many places in India is still pronounced Aum because it's thousands of years old. So when those three individual vibrations are combined, A-U-M, essentially a fourth vibration is created, like a chord in music made up of three individual notes, and that's Aum. So we can go Aum or Om, whatever feels right to you. But that's the fourth state of consciousness. Beyond waking, beyond dreaming, and beyond sleeping, this fourth state of consciousness is transcendent consciousness, or Turiya, which is what we call enlightenment or oneness. In Hinduism, it's the unity of the divine made up of its three components. Brahma is creation, Vishnu is preservation or maintenance, and Shiva is destruction and rebirth. So the chanting of this mantra heralds the entire cycle of our existence, our universality. It heralds our oneness and our divine connection to this beautiful realm of creation, maintenance, destruction, and recreation. Which is why we usually chant Om before and or after meditation and yoga practice, and specifically when we read sacred texts. By repeating this vibration of Aum, or any sound, essentially over and over and over and over, it will become part of your physiology. It will become part of your mind. It essentially will become you. It will lose all meaning, all definition, and all relevance. There will be no separation between you and the vibration. So today, let's get real comfortable with that vibration. Aum, which heralds our transcendence, the true union, the oneness, no separation, Brahman, Godhead, Nirvana, or whatever you want to call it. We'll start with some pranayama to begin this whole process. Pranayama is another Sanskrit word that simply means breath restraint or breathing. So let's do some breathing, and then we'll meditate using the mantra Aum. And you can chant it Om, Aum, or whatever you feel like doing with this timeless sound. But first, let's close our eyes and let's get comfortable. And let's gently follow our breath in and out. You notice as you flow in and flow out that your attention, your awareness, brings you to this present moment. As you repeat Om as our mantra, we will all drift away to thoughts in our mind. We will all drift away to sounds in the environment. We'll all drift away to sensations in our physical body. And that's okay. That's perfect. In fact, it's beautiful. It means you're alive. You're functioning on this earth. So celebrate that. Don't scold yourself for that. And let's not work too hard on this. If we're focusing or concentrating or furrowing our brow or squinting our eyes, and that makes your temples throb, then you're working way, way, way too hard. If you're doing anything, you're doing too much. If you're trying, you're trying too hard. So let's do some very gentle four-part breathing. We'll breathe in to the count of five through our nostrils. We'll hold that to the count of five. Then we'll let go of that, exhaling through our nostrils again to the count of five. And then we'll hold that breath out, and we'll do that five times. So let's begin. Inhale. Now hold. Now let go. Now hold. Now breathe in. And hold. Now let that go. And hold. Just a few more times. Inhale. And hold. And let that go. Hold that out. Now breathe in. And hold. And let it go. And hold that out. And now let's do this last round by ourselves at your own pace. And now breathe normally. And feel yourself settle down. Feel your mind relax. Feel your body ease. Now together, let's repeat the mantra one time out loud. And now let's whisper it together. And now begin to repeat it silently to yourself, over and over and over. We'll sit in Om meditation for 10 minutes, and I'll watch the time. I'll ring a chime at the halfway point, and then I'll ring it one more time at the end of 10 minutes. Aham Brahmasmi. I am the universe. You can stop repeating the mantra Om, and then just breathe gently, ever so gently, following your breath in and out. And feel free to sit with your eyes closed and let the stillness and the silence settle in. Feel that flow in and out, and feel the hymn of the universe ripple through every fiber of your being. And now let's chant it together one time. We'll take a long, slow, deep breath in. And let's chant together. And when it feels comfortable, feel free to gently open your eyes. Today's metta moment, our way of bringing loving kindness into the world, is another baby step. And each day we'll transform the world a bit by transforming ourselves a bit. Through small acts of loving kindness, that ripple will build. Hundreds of thousands of people are connected right now by this mission to flow loving kindness into the world. We'll make a difference today, a profound difference today. And so today's metta moment is to forgive all transgressions that occur today. Don't take anything personally. You may absorb words that people say, being a little defensive at first, but don't take it personally. Whatever they say truly has nothing to do with you. It's what they're saying or doing, and then your translation or interpretation of that. So since we know it's an interpretation, and since we can't even guess what's in someone else's head, let's just forgive all transgressions today. In the moment, let's not harbor them, or sit on them, or sleep on them. Let's just forgive them all today. Tomorrow's another day. We can be as unforgiving as we like tomorrow, but as for today, we'll just forgive everything around us. And if we can go through one day of being fully defenseless, absorbing in no toxicity, then we have defined ahimsa, nonviolence, and everyone we have touched throughout the day will be touched by that sweet, loving, amazing energy, the power of our ripple. So on day two of this magnificent 40 days of transformation, my name is David G. I wish you peace, and I'll see you tomorrow. And in the meantime, I'll see you in the gap.